Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Farhan Karani, how are you doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah,
can you hear me clearly? I can hear you clearly. Can you hear me clearly?
The voice is
getting louder. Okay. We were just speaking to Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman now, and now we've crossed over to meet with you. Mufti Saab, all well on your side? What's Mufti Saab's...
Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Saab, what's the topic today to inform the Ummah, and what? How can we benefit from these few minutes, inshallah?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد بن عبد الله وتحت إجمعين. The very very something very important is this is it I found is lacking in children of today, especially the younger ones like under 7-8 years old. The topic on akhlaq, topic on manners, respect, adab. Adab is very rarely found these days, especially in the younger children. And then this adab, if it's not nurtured, if it's not brought into a child's life, then the child will grow up without this respect, without this adab in. And then they're going to grow up into adults, and then they're going to carry on that with their children. And when we grow up, alhamdulillah, you know, our parents emphasize respect, you know, make salam to the elders. When you answer someone, you know, say ji, you don't say ya, you don't say yes, you say ji. Somebody asks you, how are you? We don't say fine, you say alhamdulillah. And somebody gives you something, you don't say thanks, you say jazakallah khairan. And so, we were taught all these things. We're taught in madrasa, we were taught at home. And unfortunately, you see the trend nowadays that children don't know these basic things. And the parents are partly to be blamed, and it's this new school curriculum and the new school ways are also to be blamed. And because we want to send our children to school. Now, they inculcate these Western ideologies, this Western way of thinking, and they call it the cultured way. And you must say hi, you must say thanks, you must say fine, you must say yes. And now, as Muslims, we are not taught to say to respond in ways like this. We are taught with through Quran and Hadith, and so somebody asks you something, then you must reply them in an Islamic way. And like we gave an example, somebody gives you something, say thank you, say jazakallah. And if somebody asks you how are you, you don't say fine, you say alhamdulillah, mashallah. And we have some bad news, inna lillahi inna ilaihi rajiun. And so, these things are taught in grade one and in madrasa, in a maktab. But you'll find children coming and they will use all Western and fashionable ways of speaking. And this year I see is taught in these nursery schools, and the teachers there also don't implement the Islamic way and the proper way of teaching, and they just they go with the flow, and then the children pick up habits from other children as well in the school, and they think that this is a cool way of speaking, and then when they come to madrasa, and then you ask them a question, and then they answer you in that way, they say yeah, and now you must just teach them now. No, you don't say yeah. You say, gee, we can't answer like that day. No, you can't answer your parents in that way. Would you answer your parents in that way? You say, no. But then why you can't answer the teacher in that way? And the madrasa, ustad, you answer in that way. So we have to teach them, to teach them what affection, and make them understand why you can't say things like it. For example, that to ask the child something, and then you're saying, and they're asking like, what kind of an answer is that? And it's not an answer, that's the sound of calming. And so then they laugh. Then they will understand that no, you can't say things like this, you can't answer in that way. And in some point hadith was often said, in indeed from the best among you are those who have the best character and best manners and the best character. So mannerism and is taught from home, taught from the parent, by the parents, by the mother, by the father, and the children also pick up from the parents. If the parents don't speak to each other respectfully, then the children will also adopt that way, and they will also speak in the same manner. And when the parents speak to the children also, they have to also speak in a respectful way. Then the children will, because the child's mind is very impressionable, it's such a fun. Whatever you show the child, even if you don't teach the child will just observe and just witness, and this is how people around me behave, so this is the way I'm supposed to behave. And so very, very important to inculcate good akhlaq and manners in our children. If you're a madrasa, ustad, maktab teacher, we have to make sure that the children learn akhlaq. They learn akhlaq. Nowadays, when you ask a child something, they will, if you tell them something, for example, you tell them, keep your trouser above your ankle. But why? It's cold. I need to put my trouser down. I'm feeling cold. Now you have to explain to them, no, it's the hadith of Rasulullah that whatever goes below the ankle is the fire of Jahannam. Then they don't understand. So they need to tell them, listen, do you want to use your clothes as a mop or broom? You want to sweep the floor and look at your trouser, how dirty your trouser is. And you want your trouser to be clean, and fold your trouser up. But don't fold it up because you want it clean. Fold it up because it's the sunnah of Rasulullah. It's the instruction of Nabi. You must keep your garment above your ankles. So we have to teach them these things. Then when you speak to some students, then they back at you. Now you think, now, you know, in our days, we never saw these kind of things. And we didn't even think about talking back to our ustad, because we knew there may be consequences there. Those days, we kept hiding with a stick and golden chair and wood bear, you know, all those things were in place. That's how we learned manners and respect. So in these days now, because the law of the land says, no, you can't beat the children and you can't discipline the children, you must just accept everything, whatever they do, you must just speak to them. And you find the Western way of teaching is that the child will be just respectful. They will shout at you and they will even swear you. And then you must take them one side, you must speak to them kindly. And when we grew up, it wasn't like that. No, the speech spoke about it, spoke love stories. You know, one shot with the temple picked up your brain. And nowadays, you can't even shout the child. No, you are affecting the child. You are emotionally breaking down the child. You mustn't use discipline like this here. And so, what does the hadith say? When the child is 7 years old, must tell the child, come, you must read salah, come read salah. When you're 10 years old, you don't read salah, then you can beat them also. And so, where does the Western world say, no, you can't beat the child? And beat your child is your child. If you don't teach your child, then who's going to teach your child? And the school is not going to teach your child. They want your child to be a hooligan. They want him to grow up without manners. And another hadith of Nabi that you must be kind to your youngsters and you must be respectful to your elders. And so this we learn from the hadith also. So respect is everything. And respect makes you a good person. And so respect for our parents, respect for our elders. Doesn't matter this person is not my family member or this person is not a Muslim also. And we have respect for even non-Muslims. We can't speak to them harshly, abruptly. We have to speak to them kindly also. That is a way of making da'wah to other people. That this is how we speak. Whether you're Muslim or not, this is how we conduct ourselves. And sad nowadays, you find that how Muslims behave and in public spaces and hitting each other, Muslims hitting other Muslims and swearing at them and taking out weapons for them. And it's like we never learned anything. It's like we never learned anything. We weren't taught anything at home. We weren't taught anything in the madrasa. And then the other problem is that the children don't attend madrasa anymore because they think now they've gone too big now for madrasa. Once in high school, they don't want to go to madrasa. So respect for your elders and having mercy on our youngsters at home when we have siblings, one is elder than the other, then the younger one will speak nicely to the elder one, and the elder one will just be abrupt and just not be nice. They're going too big now because they have friends, and this is how the friends speak, so they adopt that method of speaking. Now you have to explain to them, no, this is your little brother, this is your little sister, you can't speak to them, this is not your friend at school, this is your little sister, this is your little brother, have mercy on them, share your things with them, and not this is my toy, this is my this and my that, and a very important lesson that Sheikh Zakir Ahmad learned from his father, that once his father asked him, go bring the fellow, you know that fellow you got, the small fellow? He said, Mera Satya, my fellow. Oh, his father didn't want to hear that day. And he disappeared him. And for the rest of his life, he remembered that he can't say this is mine. Because nothing belongs to us. And whatever we have with us is for our usage. We're using it. It's on loan to us. And when we die, it doesn't belong to us anymore. As soon as we close our eyes, the roof comes up and the last breath comes out, then it doesn't belong to us anymore. It belongs to those who will inherit from us. And speaking on the subject of inheritance also, these days, it comes from India. This concept comes from India where girls shouldn't inherit. And, so this is why Manatana and I emphasize on it also to uproot all these diseases and all these spiritual sicknesses which were rooted in our forefathers and our great grandfathers that came from Indo-Pak, that they always left out the women, the girls in the family from inheritance, no, because they're getting married, so they, you know, their husband will look after them. And so this is also very important that we have to abide by the Sharia. The Sharia says that this person must get this amount of inheritance and you have to give them their rightful share. So this is off the topic there, but coming back onto the topic with regards to good character, and even advise us that أحسن إلى ذلك تكون مؤمنا. If you must be good to your neighbor, and you will then you will be a true believer. So not only to our parents, even to our neighbors, and can say, no, this is my house. I can wake up 6 o'clock in the morning and start my angle grinder and my and start having my car in the middle of the night. And, no, it's your house. Okay, fine, your house. But you got neighbors. You have to be considerate to your neighbors. You have to be kind to your neighbors. And even though our neighbors are non-Muslim, and we have to show good habits and good akhlaq to them, so they say, no, just Muslims. The Muslim people are very kind. They're very nice people. And if we're going to show them that we don't show them good manners and good akhlaq, then it's not going to be a gateway for them to accept Islam. And so we have to show good manners to them, good akhlaq to them. Even if they're non-Muslim, and for example, our children are playing, and we teach them, don't scream so loud. If the neighbor has a small baby, the baby might be sleeping, you're going to wake the baby up. And so don't slam the car door so hard, and the neighbors are still sleeping, it's still very early in the morning. And so we have to remind each other that we have to be good human beings. And like Muhammad used to say, that to be an infant is very difficult. And to be infant is very difficult. Because within ourselves, we have a nafs. And this nafs is like a wild horse. And it's like a wild horse, untamed horse. If you don't, you have to tame this horse. You have to tame this nafs. So that is why the Akabirin used to emphasize on tasawwuf. Tasawwuf is so important. And what is tasawwuf? It's spiritual reformation. That we have to remedy the evils within us. And so those madrasas who don't have this tasawwuf part of the syllabus, then you find that when you come out from madrasa, then they have takabbur and they have riya and all these evil qualities because they weren't remedied in the madrasa. So an alim who doesn't have, who didn't have tasawwuf training, and he's not going to be a true alim, because you will maybe speak about the topic, you speak about hasad, you speak about riya and kibar, but he doesn't have it in him. He didn't correct those evil qualities in himself, so he won't be able to relate to what it really means to have humility, to be kind, etc. So, alhamdulillah, when we were in madrasa, we were taught about tasawwuf, and we're not allowed, a student is allowed to take that to a chef. He is chef, he is what? He's kitab. He must just be involved in the in his kitab. Like, Ahmad Sadiq, Sahab Dangur Akasim also, when he was in Jalalabad, then he wasn't allowed to take bath to Manasullah. He was just engrossed in his kitab. And then only after he finished his studies, then Manasullah gave him to take bath, and immediately gave him khilafat. Gave him khilafat also. So first so where are we going to find this? So he found in the Quran. You'll find these Salafi people, and then they say, what is the tasawwuf, and what is the tasawwuf in the hangar for, and all that. So, it comes from the Quran also, and in the hadith of Nabi Sassan, look at the Ashabu Sutra. They were by Nabi Sassan, they were taught by Nabi Sassan, what they were taught? They were taught all these akhlaq and akhlaq, just because they go hand in hand. An alim without akhlaq is not an alim. The alim has to have akhlaq also. So, akhlaq is all around. Whether you're a child, you have to have akhlaq, good manners, good character. Whether you're a parent, you have to have that day. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're a student, whether in every sphere of life, you need to have good manners. Mm-hmm. And whether you're driving on the road also, you have to have good manners. You have to be courteous to the next driver on the road. Although you will find that nobody on the road these days has any manners, and people will cut you off, and they will they won't stop as a robot, and you're right of way, but now you just have to maneuver your way around to get around, because nobody has any sense of let me wait, but let him go first, and nobody has it in him anymore. So the world as we see today is lacking a lot of good character, good mannerism, good akhlaq. So it's going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. But we have to speak about these things, because if we don't speak about it, then there will be nothing left. And so, as parents in our homes, we have to teach our children to have respect, education. So the best way to teach them how to have respect is to have respect for each other in the house. Have respect for each other in the house. Speak to each other kindly in the house. And between spouses, we have to have respect for each other. And children addressing parents, they'll address the parents in a respectful manner. If the parents respect each other, and the husband respects the wife, and the wife respects the husband, and the parents speak to the children nicely, then the children will also speak nicely. And then we have to see when the child comes back home, from school, then how are they reacting? How are they behaving? You must notice the behavior. That when they come back from school, you will notice sometimes that their behavior is a bit untoward. Then you must sit down, speak to them, listen, you know, this is not how we conduct ourselves. This is not how we speak. This is not how we behave. We don't make sounds like this here. We don't do things like this here. We have to notice our children's behavior. And it is the only way we can to correct them. And but when somebody else wants to correct, if we don't correct our children, then somebody else outside corrects our children's behavior, then we take offense and we want to now lash out on them and then we want to exchange words with them and who you think you are and this is my child, you don't speak to my child again. But did you teach your own child manners? Even you didn't teach your child how to behave correctly. This is why your child is behaving like that. Now, when you are growing up, when you go to somebody's house, before you even reach there, your parents are telling you, when you go there, you make salam. Make salam to everybody first. Keep your hand, you must greet, you must say, assalamu alaikum. You must introduce yourself, my name is so and so. And the elders will even say, your father never teach you how to make salam. Mm-hmm. And then it embarrasses the parents also. So, we have to inculcate these good habits in our children. And then, inshallah, we will have a good society. And nowadays, you see these youngsters, teenagers, and they have no respect whatsoever. You know, they will see you. They will not make salam to you. And you, as an elder, will make salam to them. And they sometimes won't even reply to you. And in our days, when we see elders, anybody, make salam. And because, you know, this is somebody elder than me. And he taught us in the hadith also. And you must respect the elders. So these things have to be done. If you don't teach these things, now you can learn all the kitabs in the world. You can learn all the ahadith in the world. You can become the greatest mufassir and muhaddith. But if you don't have the respect and you don't have sort of recognition, then you're not going to benefit anybody. Nobody will benefit from you. And because the secret to it is that you have to first subjugate your nafs, you first have to control your nafs, you have to find out what spiritual remedies do I have inside of me that I need to correct. And now when we go and sit by a chef, by a spiritual guide, he will teach us, that he will bring our attention that, you know, you have this quality of jealousy in you, you have this quality of riya in you. So just by the way you stand, or by the way you walk, or by the way you speak, it says a lot. It speaks a lot. The actions speak louder than words. And the person, the sheikh, will be able to identify that these are the evil qualities in this person. I need to work on them. He's not a bad person. He just has these qualities in him. But we need to outroot and uproot these bad habits and these evil qualities. So, Nabi Fasim was sent to mankind also to make us see of us. And, and to make yourself clear, to find all these bad habits and uproot them and replace them with good akhlaq, good habits, good manners. Allah Ta'ala give us the best of character. Allah Ta'ala make us the embodiment of goodness. Give us best in this dunya and akhirah.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahab. And as we saw all this youth and what words are coming out on social media, it is an important message for us. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.